The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The parable of the sower is a familiar story. From Sunday school on, we've heard it. It's easily remembered and it seems so readily understood. And Jesus even gives us an explanation. Still, a most critical point of the parable itself is the great difficulty with which the word of the kingdom is understood. As Jesus simply said, he who has ears, let him hear. May God's word work within your hearts this day so that you are hearing, so that you may confess, which is our theme today. My fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, let us begin by saying that Jesus gives us ears to hear, which is our first point. How well do our ears hear God's word? Do we always take God's word as the absolute authority, or only in matters that pick our fancy? Recall Luther's meaning to the third commandment: we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. I think we all have to confess that there are times when his word falls on deaf ears, when we think that we know more than what God has told us in his word. That is nothing more than pure arrogance, and that is sin. And Jesus calls us to repent of it and to return to him and his word. It was the disciples in our text who were given the ability to understand the teaching of Jesus. And yet they had seen many reject Jesus and his word, and that included many of the religious leaders and crowds of followers at times, and even sometimes his own family members. Is it any different today? People want what they want. The words of St. Paul come to mind when he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." Jesus taught in parables, both to reveal truths and sometimes to conceal truths. The parables describe the kingdom of God in action. They show how God works, and in the case of our text, it shows how God's word works. This parable of the sower is meant to strengthen and also to warn Jesus' disciples. The sower is God, as it says. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The seed that is sown is the word of God. That is always the initiative of God. And his word is intended to grow and produce results. We heard in our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 55, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." But the danger we see pictured in the text is that God's word can be snatched away by the devil, or it can be rejected by people. Our text is both a warning and a reality check. We should never be discouraged, as we know that God's word will bring forth the results which he desires. For the word is continually working faith in the hearts of people and producing growth in God's kingdom of grace. Jesus has given you understanding, since the kingdom of God has come to you. The scattering of the seed continues to happen through word and sacrament, as Jesus comes to you over and over again through those means. This morning in his body and blood in the Holy Supper. The seed was planted in your heart, already in the water and word in your baptism. God's word says he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It is through his church and the office of the holy ministry that Jesus bestows those gifts upon you. Because we were all born dead in our sins, God had to take the initiative, break up cold, stony hearts, create good soil where the seed of the gospel is sown and faith in Jesus is born and grows. The message of the church is always and only about Jesus, about his crucifixion, about his suffering, about his death, about his shedding the blood for all people. And it's about his resurrection, where we know all of our sins are forgiven, and where he has given to us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. It's always and only about Jesus. Paul says, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and justification, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. But as we know, the devil doesn't give up. He will attempt to uproot and tear away what God has sown in our hearts. Paul put it this way. He says, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. To which Peter adds, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Like the disciples, you too are given the bigger picture, so that when people reject the word of God, you won't be disappointed. You can rejoice that God's word has produced good soil, and you know the sure and certain promises of God, and from them you will not be budged. You can rejoice that you are hearing so that you can confess. Ears that hear lead to hearts that act in love, which is our final point. So how did Jesus' first disciples fare in that matter? Well, we know that Jesus explained the parable to them, but somehow it didn't catch on right away. As we read on in Matthew's gospel, they would quibble amongst themselves as to who would be greatest in the kingdom. Well, that certainly doesn't mesh with loving one's neighbor as oneself. Peter would later deny Jesus. Others would flee and hide when Jesus was facing persecution. How often do you and I hide from boldly confessing the truth of God's word with those who are living apart from Christ Jesus and his church. Even after Jesus' resurrection and just before his ascension, the disciples were asking whether it was now that Jesus would restore the kingdom to Israel. They did not fully understand the point of this parable. The word of God's kingdom grows like a seed, rejected by some, but it still spreads with incredible results. The seed yielded amazing results as the disciples bore witness in Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea. As people heard, they confessed. As you hear, you confess Christ Jesus and invite people to come here to be part of God's church called Zion Lutheran Church. I know you've heard me say this before, but half of Linn County, that's over 100,000 people, are not claimed by any Christian church. That is the mission field in which you and I live. The same Lord Jesus who richly and daily forgives you all your sins has given you ears to hear so that you can be confessing Christ Jesus to your neighbor. And you can continue and will continue to be generous in supporting the public proclamation of the word in the administration of the sacraments here at Zion Lutheran. And you will soon do it under a new shepherd. But you can be praying that Jesus would give you opportunities to plant the seed as you go about your daily activities. For we can all rejoice in the fact that the devil has been defeated. His head was crushed by Jesus on the cross. And John wrote, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Paul says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then John reminds us, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. By God's grace, you are part of the crop produced in the good soil and are part of his kingdom. As the seed of God's word is being sown, the harvest will come as God's word is powerful and effective. The result is that you both have ears to hear and a mouth which confesses, as St. Paul tells us, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. In Jesus' name and completed work of redemption. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.